So, we'll see few things about, we'll discuss few things about Lord Nityananda. So, first thing we'll discuss is, who is Lord Nityananda? Right? We come here to the temple every Sunday. There's a beautiful, smiling Lord Nityananda. We bow down in front of him. We pay obeisances. So, who is this Lord Nityananda? Many of us already know that Lord Nityananda is none other than Lord Balram. And he is also considered as the Adi Guru, the original spiritual master. But it says that if you really want to understand who is Lord Nityananda, we should also understand who is Lord Gauranga. And if you want to know who is Lord Gauranga, then you should understand who is Lord Nityananda. So we cannot understand one of them without the other. That's the secret. And Prabhupada says that if you try to understand one of them separately from the other, it is like the Ardha Kukkuti Naya. You know, you must have heard this. This is a, you know, half hen logic. A farmer had a beautiful hen which used to give the golden egg every day. And the farmer was thinking, why am I feeding this hen from the front side and spending so much time and money? Because the egg comes from the back side. So why not let me cut this hen into half so that I can enjoy the golden eggs, right? So similarly, if you try to understand one of them without the other, that's the logic we are going to, you know, fall into. So that's why we should understand both of them. But actually, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita mentions that if you really want to understand Lord Nityananda, then you should understand the Panchatattva. This is a beautiful Panchatattva in Sridham Mayapur. So if you understand Panchatattva, you will understand the position of Lord Nityananda. So, as you know, Lord appears in this world from time to time. Krishna mentions in the Bhagavad Gita, in the fourth chapter, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata abhittana madharmasya tadatmanam smajanaya. Whenever there is a decline in religious principle, whenever there is a predominant rise of religion, Krishna says that I descend into this material world. And he also says, paritranaya sadunam vinashaya chatrishkritam dharma samstharpanathaya sambhavami yuhiyuhi. To give pleasure to his devotees and to annihilate the miscreant and to re-establish the religious principle, Krishna says, I come to this material world from time to time. Now, when Krishna comes in this material world, does he come alone? No, he is always with his associates. And Prabhupada compares this to the president or the king when he wants to visit the neighboring kingdom or a country. He never goes alone. He is always with his army of people, with all his associates. See, when Prabhupada was in this earthly planet, you know, there were many devotees who were expert in art, you know, drawing different paintings. And they would always take the final drawing, final painting they would take to the Prabhupada for a permission to approve so that it can go into some of the books which Prabhupada had written. So one such Mataji was a great artist. She drew a beautiful picture of Lord Krishna wandering around the forest, beautiful forest. And she was so pleased with that painting and she presented it to Srila Prabhupada. And Srila Prabhupada looked at it and the very first comment he made it, why Krishna is alone in this painting? It looks like Supreme Lord is depressed and just taking a stroll in the woods. Krishna cannot be alone. He told her, at least draw some animals around him so that at least it looks like he's with some associates. So that's the nature. Supreme Personality of God is never alone. He always comes with his associates. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is also none other than Krishna, he appears in this material world once in a day of Brahma, which is approximately 8.6 billion years. So around the noontime of the Brahma, he appears. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? He is Sri Krishna Chaitanya Radha Krishna Naihanya. So he says he is none other than Radha and Krishna coming together. Now, is it something like made up by ISKCON or Prabhupada or some of the Vaishnavas? Not really. The appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also mentioned in many scriptures. It has been prophesized in many scriptures, including Srimad Bhagavatam. Krishna Varnam, Tushar Krishnam, Sango Pangastra Parshadam. In this age of Kali, it's mentioned that supreme personality of Godhead will appear, and his complexion will be molten golden color, and he will be always with his parshad, means his associates, and he will be always chanting the name of Lord Hari. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he appears also, he comes with a lot of his associates. Now, among his associates, four are principal associates. So the four principal associates and then the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they form what is known as Panchatattva. So Panchatattva is nothing, on an absolute platform level, absolute truth level, they are one. But they appear as five different manifestations just to experience, just to express different rasas or different mellows. That's it. Otherwise, from the absolute platform level, they are one. So it's actually five in one manifestation of the Supreme Lord. So what is this Panchatattva? Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wonderfully explains this, one of the very famous verse in the Adi section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So that particular verse is here. So let's chant this verse together.
Panchatattvakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam.
So Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains, who is this Panchatattva? He says, Supreme Personality of Godhead, he appears, he manifests into five different truths, five different tattvas. One of the tattva is Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, which is known as Isha Tattva. Now the Lord always does expand, right? So that is an expansion tattva. Then Lord also incarnates. So that is incarnation tattva. Then Lord is also present in the form of a devotee. So that's the devotee tattva. And then the final, Lord has internal energy, many energies. So that is an energy tattva. So these are five truths about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So they appear in five different manifestations. So in this verse, Panchatattvatvakam Krishnam Bhakta Rupa. Bhakta Rupa refers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead who has appeared in the form of a Bhakta. And that is, who is that? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he is at the center on this Panchatattva. The Bhakta Swarupakam refers to the expansion of that, the devotee, expansion of the Supreme Lord. And that is Lord Nityananda, who is on the right side of the Panchatattva. Then Bhaktavataram. Avataram is incarnation. So incarnation of the Supreme Lord. So that is Mahavishnu appearing as Advaita Acharya. So that's on the far right side. And then Bhaktakya means the devotee himself. That is Narad Muni appearing as Srivas Thakur. So that's in the leftmost side. And there is Bhakta Shaktikam, the energy of the Lord. That is internal energy, Srimati Radharani appearing as Gadadhar. So that is on the left side. He's on the left side of the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So you can see this Panchatattva is the basis for our worship. So among this Panchatattva, Lord Nityananda is the principal associate of the Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the mission of spreading the Krishna consciousness movement or the Sankirtan movement. So that is his position. Now one might ask, what is the difference between Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya? Or for that matter, what's the difference between Balaram and Krishna? Because we refer both of them as Supreme God, right? So what is the difference? Actually, the way we say Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is none other than Krishna, is not an expansion or an incarnation. He is Krishna himself. Similarly, Lord Nityananda is none other than Balaram. He is not an expansion or the incarnation of Balaram. He is the Balaram himself. The difference between Krishna and Balaram or the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Nityananda Prabhu is that Nityananda Prabhu is a Supreme Personality of Godhead also. But he is the Supreme Personality of Servitor God. It means he is the Supreme Lord who is in the mood of service. So that is the only difference between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the Nityananda Prabhu. So that is his exalted position of Nityananda Prabhu, who has appeared just for the spreading this Sankirtan movement and just to help Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared in Navadvip in the year, which year? Anyone knows? 1486. And Nityananda Prabhu was 12 years older than Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so it appeared in 1474. Krishnadas Kaur Kaviraj Goswami mentions that when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu appeared in Navadvip, it was like a sun and moon rising together. So can you imagine? Sunrise is so beautiful, moonrise is so beautiful. But imagine both of them rising together, how beautiful it can be, right? So that is how both of them appeared in the Bengal region. So the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's appearance is compared to the sunrise. So what happens during the sunrise? It dispels the darkness. Similarly, when someone takes the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu within his heart, or rather, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rises in someone's heart, it is said that he will dispel all darkness, all ignorance. Because even a child who has been blessed with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can easily swim through all the contradictions, all the complexities of different scriptures. Scriptures are very complex. There's so much confusion, so many different paths, so many yoga ladders, you know, so many yoga steps. So people are confused, which one is the real path? Should I pray to this? Should I pray to him? Should I pray to whom? You know, there's so much confusion. Should I merge into Brahman, or is there a personal God, and who is he? So there's so much confusion. So if we take a shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it's considered like a sunrise, so he can immediately illuminate, and he can give you the clear path, what should be your goal in life, what should be your devotional path. So that's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Now Lord Nityananda is compared to the moonrise. Now what does moonrise do? Whenever there is a moonrise, it gives a soothing effect, right? If there is a sunny day, like very hot sunny day, in the evening there is a cool breeze and the sun rises, it gives a very soothing effect. So same way, it's said that when someone takes the shelter of Lord Nityananda, it will immediately give a soothing effect from the torment nature of this material world. This material world is very tormented, but Lord Nityananda can give that soothing effect. Now, is Lord Nityananda, is he considered a single moon rising? No. It actually says it, Nityai Pada Kamala Koti Chandra Shushitala. Is compared to not just one moon, but 10 million moons rising at the same time. So you can imagine how much soothing effect that Lord Nityananda Prabhu can give if we take his shelter. So, Lord Nityananda has unlimited qualities, unlimited pastime. But tonight we have a limited time. So, we will discuss some of his few characteristics so that we can glorify him and we can maybe understand what is his mood. The first principle we will discuss about Lord Nityananda is principle of happiness. We do so many activities in this material world, right? Some are studying, some are doing business, some are working hard, some are jogging, some are swimming, some are flying, some are doing nothing, some are just reading. So many activities. Now, why are we doing so many different things in this world? What is the common thing across all the activities? Just try to understand.
To get the pleasure
or to get the happiness. That's the bottom line. All of us are doing some or the other activities because we want happiness. Nobody is in this world is working hard to get a misery, guaranteed. Right? In fact, finding happiness is considered the core of our existence. That's why Upanishads mention that Anandamaya Abhyasad, that we always look for pleasure and happiness. In fact, scripture, Upanishads also say that based on the type of happiness we seek, or based on the type of happiness we enjoy, the human beings can be divided into five major groups. The first group, which is a very elementary level, is that they always look for food. Food. Anywhere they go, they want food. Because they get happiness by eating food. That's it. Now, it's not because they don't have money to afford a food, but they are always in the consciousness of food, whether in the home, office, doesn't matter. So that's, they get happiness out of that. See, that is why, and that type of happiness is what is known as Annamayi Kosh. That's the basic level of happiness. That is why when Prabhupada started his movement here in the United States, what is the first thing he did? Prasadam. Because he wanted to pacify that type of happiness people had. So when that happiness is satisfied, then someone looks to protect his body, protect his look, protect his wealth, protect his family. So he is in the mood of protection of it. So he is generally in the gym, or he's in the doctor, or the plastic surgeon, or the makeup. You know, these type of things is he gets a satisfaction out of that. And that is known as pranamayi kosha. That's the second level of happiness. Now when that is satisfied, the food is satisfied, the protection is satisfied, then he looks for something else. And what is that? He looks for the knowledge. He wants to gain knowledge in this material world, and he gets happiness out of that. So he is in the library, or he is in some kind of website looking for knowledge all the time. And that type of happiness is known as jnanamayi kosha, but he's still not satisfied with that. So next level of happiness people try to find is, okay, I have jnana knowledge and I have experience in this material world. So they try to contemplate on both of these, and they use that mental faculty to bring this, harmonize these two things together to get some realization. And that is known as vijnanamayi kosha. So scripture says, these four type of happiness will never give you happiness, real happiness. So that's why there is a fifth level of happiness. Unless and until one reaches that happiness, nobody can be real happy. And that happiness is known as anandamayi kosha. So that is that everyone looks for an ananda. They look for the bliss. Until we get that bliss, we are always hankering. Any other type of happiness, what we find in this material world, is like a drop in the ocean. So if you are lost in the middle of desert, and if you are given, and you are thirsty, and if you are given a drop of water, are you going to be happy? Certainly not. So we are always constantly seeking for this happiness. So now the question is there a way out? Can we really find this ananda? Can we really find this, can we stop this hankering? And our scriptures and the acharya says, yes, there is a way out from this whole thing. That is why if you come for the Mangal Aarti, you know, any temple in ISKCON, what is the first bhajan they sing? Samsara dava lalali galola pranaya karunya gnanamatvam. This samsara, this material world, is like a blazing forest fire. It's always burning. But there's a hope. A spiritual master, gnanamatvam, is like a rain cloud. He can shower his mercy, can give happiness. So the spiritual, this material world is always tormented like a blazing forest fire, but spiritual master can give that happiness. He is compared to a cloud, right? Now, there's an interesting analogy here. Why spiritual master is compared to the cloud? Now, does the cloud make its own water? Does the cloud manufacture its own water? No, where does the cloud get water from?
Ocean.
The ocean, right? So this ocean is compared to Lord Nityananda. So the Lord Nityananda is an ocean of happiness. He forms many clouds from that ocean, and these different clouds appear as a spiritual master, and we get the happiness from that cloud. See, what a beautiful arrangement, isn't it? So those who are in IT industry, the latest buzzword is cloud computing, correct? But Lord Nityananda has been using this technology for many, many years. He has been using, he has implemented this cloud technology for a long, long time. It's just that we have to understand how we get this mercy. So that is why Nityananda Prabhu is known as Adiguru. Because there are clouds, but the original happiness comes from the ocean, which is none other than Lord Nityananda. So that is why one of the meaning of Lord Nityananda, or Nityananda means what? Nitya Ananda. He's eternally happy. So since he's eternally happy, isn't it wise for us to associate with him? It makes sense, right? Because it says that Jaisa Sang Vaisa Rang. So your mood depends upon with whom you are associating with. So if you want to be happy, then we should make an effort to associate with Lord Nityananda. That's why Narottam Das Thakur, one of our great acharya, sings a very wonderful, in one of the bhajans he says, what is that? Aha Prabhu Nityananda Premananda Sukhi Kripa Balokana Karo Ami Bhava. says, Aha Prabhu Nityananda, Premananda Sukhi, my dear Lord Nityananda, you are eternally blissful, eternally happy, Sukhi. But I am tormented. Right? So please shower your mercy because I am always dukhi. I am eternally sad. So why don't you please shower your mercy? So this is the secret of Lord Nityananda. He is always happy. So we should take that advantage. Now the question might be asked, okay, we compared Lord Nityananda with the ocean of happiness. But why is he ocean of happiness? Right? The next question. Why is he ocean of happiness? Now, to understand why is the ocean of happiness, we have to understand how do we get happiness? Do we get happiness from the position? If you have a big house, big cars, big wealth, I mean big bank balance or big whatever it is, position, does that give happiness? Not really. From time after time, the different surveys have shown that people from some of the poorest countries are the most happiest people, not in the United States. And it's true. The last survey showed that people in Bangladesh are the most happiest people. Why? Because happiness does not come from possession, but happiness comes from the loving service. The loving service is what actually gives us happiness. For example, let me give you two scenarios. In the first scenario, say you are asked to sit down and you are given a dinner plate. And there are five great Vaishnavas, they are feeding you 56 items and you are asked to eat. So that's the first scenario. Second scenario, those five Vaishnavas are sitting and you are asked to serve them those 56 items. Which one will you prefer? Sure? Guarantee? Okay.
First one.
If it's the first one, you don't have to mention it. But it's sure that we get more happiness in serving others. That's there. So even in our perfected state level, which is known as Swarup Siddhi, we can serve the Lord in one of the five different rasas, right? There's a Shantarasa, Dasarasa, Satyarasa, Vatsalya, and Madhurya. So we can serve the Supreme Lord in one of the five mellows or five rasas. But Nityananda Prabhu is so expert that he can serve the Supreme Lord in all five rasas at the same time. So that is the service. Remember, service gives the happiness. And you can serve the Supreme Lord in all five different dresses. In the mood of Santaras, in the neutrality, he serves by expanding himself as a Vrajadam or the umbrella or the bed of the Lord in all these things. And as a Dasiras, he serves Supreme Lord by massaging his feet. He takes a venial position. Sakiras is a coward boy, plays with the Supreme Lord. And as a Vatsalyas, he appears as Adi, because of Adi Guru, he also appears as Sandipani Muni. Sometimes he takes a position of kind of a parent when Krishna is out in the fields. And as a Vatsalyas, he expands himself as Ananga Manjari, who is none other than Srimati Radharani's younger sister. So you can see, Lord Nityananda actually serves Supreme Personality of Godhead in all five different dresses. So, that is why, since the service gives the happiness and he is the most expert in serving Lord, that's why he is ocean of happiness. Now, and Lord Nityananda is so expert, he can serve the Lord as a senior, as an equal, as a junior. See, we cannot do that. He can do all these things to the same person at the same time. That is his expertise. So there's a wonderful pastime of Lord Nityananda. When Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas at the age of 24, as per the Varnashram Dharma, you're supposed to leave home and go to some secluded place. So that is Varnashram Dharma. As a sannyasi, you should not stay with your parents or the friends, leave the home. But Lord Nityananda knew that Supreme Personality of God doesn't have to follow these rules and regulations of Varnashram Dharma. He is much beyond that. And he also, Nityananda Prabhu, knew that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would be more happy if he can associate with his close friends in Navadvip, and also if he can spend some time with his mother, Sachimata. So what he did, he went and told some of the villagers around Navadvip that tomorrow, when you see a sannyasi, and if he asks for a direction towards Vrindavan, please misguide him and show towards Ganges. So he told all the villages. And as per his plan, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left next day for Vrindavan. And then he came across a villager, he asked, how to go to Vrindavan? And the villager said, Vrindavan, yes, go this side. And he said, towards Ganges. Then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was very happy, and Nityananda Prabhu was also following him. So they were ecstatic, they are going towards Vrindavan. The next villager, same thing, how do you go to? So this way. So they were, Mahaprabhu was misled in every step. Meanwhile, Lord Nityananda had also sent a communication message to Srivas Thakur that tomorrow Chaitanya Mahaprabhu might appear at the banks of Ganges and he might take baths. So make sure you keep a fresh extra set of clothes for him because he might take bath. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, so they are going towards Vrindavan, so-called Vrindavan. And finally they see the water. And Nityananda Prabhu says, oh, Yamuna ki jai. You know, because you were in Vrindavan. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Vrindavan dham ki jai. And they were chanting and dancing and they were thinking, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was thinking, soon I will get a chance to see Govardhan Hill. Soon I will see Shyamkund and Radha Kund. I can take bath. And so he was so ecstatic. He was dancing like a feather upside down. And in that mood, ecstasy, he went into the Ganges, which he thought as Yamuna. And he was taking bath in Yamuna, thinking that he's Vrindavan. And when he was taking bath, he suddenly saw a boat coming towards him. And he looked at the boat, and the face looked very familiar. And he said, oh, this is Srivas Thakur. Then he said, Srivas, when did you come to Vrindavan? You were in Bengal. But who is Srivas Thakur? Narad Muni, right? So Narad Muni is also expert. So he knew how to answer it. He said, my dear Lord, wherever you are, that place is Vrindavan. You know? So he was also trying a trick, Mahaprabhu. So finally, this type of, you know, like exchange is going on between the devotees. Then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu realized something is wrong here. He's not in Vrindavan. So he was so angry. He chastised Nityananda Prabhu and he was extremely angry. But Advaita Acharya said, don't worry about it. Let's go home and have prasad. So they had so much prasad. Advaita Acharya gave hundreds of items. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I'm a sannyasi. I can't eat all this. I just need boiled vegetable. He said, just eat half of that and then rest will take it out. And as soon as Mahaprabhu would finish half the bowl, again would fill it up. So this pastime went on for a couple of hours. They were eating. And Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami explains this in detail because he was also very expert in cooking and he liked cooking. So this type of pastimes he tells in much detail. You know? So meanwhile, Nityananda Prabhu was watching all this. He was kind of transcendentally angry. He says, Srivas, what did you cook for us? Nothing. I'm still hungry. You don't even know how to cook and how to host a sannyasi. What is this going on? And Srivas Thakur was angry. He said, I'm not going to host any more sannyasi. This is it. I had enough of you guys, you know, you can leave the home. So Nityananda Prabhu takes a couple of morsels of rice and just throws, and that one of the morsels falls on Srivas Thakur. And as soon as Srivas Thakur gets in touch with that morsel of rice, he was in so much Krishna prema, so much in ecstasy, he starts jumping and dancing, and then the kirtan starts. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu joins the kirtan, Nityananda Prabhu joins the kirtan, and the kirtan continues for 3 full days. Whenever that type of kirtan is there, you need a prasad also, right? So who can cook that much prasad? So Nityananda Prabhu says, go and call Sachi Mata. Sachi Mata was also ecstatic. She cooked prasad for 3 full days. Now, interesting part of this whole pastime is if you see, Lord Nityananda wants to serve, that's all. In the mood of service, he served Supreme Lord because Supreme Lord wanted to enjoy with the associate in Sachi Mata. He also served the devotees Srivas Thakur and Sachi Mata because they had an opportunity to serve Supreme Lord. So this is his mood. He is always in the mood of service. That is why he is known as ocean of happiness. So that if we can get in touch with, if we can get that mood of service like Nityananda Prabhu, we can also be in touch with the ocean of happiness. So the second principle we can discuss is the principle of the mercifulness. Now, the fact that Lord Nityananda is an ocean of happiness, he could have kept it to himself, right? Actually, he is so expert in serving Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is nobody else is required to serve Mahaprabhu. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu doesn't need anybody else other than Nityananda Prabhu as far as the service is concerned. But Lord Nityananda is so merciful, he always wants to expand this circle of service and he wants to give a kind of opportunity for all of us. So that is why I say that Lord Nityananda is actually more merciful than even Lord Chaitanya. That doesn't mean that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is less merciful. See, in spiritual world, it's like a little complex. You know, when we say one is more, the other is also still more. You know, so when we say Lord Nityananda is more merciful, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also more merciful. That's why one of the prayers we chant in the month, you know, like every day is, what is that? Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Krishna Namaha. What does this? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Mahavadanyaya. He is a most merciful person. So, Lord Nityananda is also more merciful like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And how do we know that? Is there any proof for that? There are many, many pastimes. One such pastime which is most favorite is the pastime of Jagai and Madai. Now we have heard this many times, pastimes, we have seen many times, you know, like that. And generally when we read this pastime, we think this is another story. Whenever devotees do this drama in the temple, right? We think this is just another kind of enjoying drama, right? Because most of the time when these dramas are performed, the best actor in the temple gets to act as a Jagai and Madai, not as Lord Nityananda, right? So it's to make it more fun. But if you really try to understand, if you go a little bit deeper, you will understand how merciful is Lord Nityananda. See, without the philosophy, some of this pastime might appear as amusing. But if you understand this philosophy, the same pastime might be amazing. So, understanding philosophy is very important. What is it? So then all these amazing qualities of Lord Nityananda can be experienced. So these Jagai and Madai, they were brothers, they were drunkards, they were killing people, murdering, they were cheating and looting and molesting women, all kind of nasty things. Yeah? And Haridas Thakur and Lord Nityananda approached them to preach. Now what happened? Did they accept their preaching? As soon as they approached them, what did they try to do? They tried to kill them. And Jagai and Madai, they wanted to kill, and Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, they started running. And Jagai and Madai, they had a big belly because of the, you know, drinking. They started following these two devotees. Now, Haridas Thakur is a little old, he's running and he's thinking and he's telling Lord Nityananda, "You are such a restless person. What did you put me into this today? You know what? Actually, on those 24 marketplace, even though I was beaten, I was saved. But looks like tonight I'm going to get finished. That situation was much better, but tonight I'm in worse condition than that. So why are you such a restless person?" And Nityananda Prabhu says that, "I'm not a restless person. That person," is referring to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "that person is actually a restless person. He is sitting at temple or the home like a king. He is a brahmachari, he is a sannyasi, and he is ordering us to go and preach to all these people. So you should go and blame him. He is a restless person." So meanwhile, they are still running and talking to each other, and you know, like Jagai and Madai are following. And at one point, Jagai and Madai are so tired, they just collapse. And then they start beating each other, then they start consoling each other, because after all, they're drunkards, and they don't know what they're doing. And Nityananda Prabhu and Haridas Thakur, they ran and went straight to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And as soon as they met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Haridas Thakur said, "This is it. I'm not going out with this crazy person anymore. He is restless." And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "What happened? What went wrong?" He said, "What went wrong? Should I give you a list of what went wrong?" And then he started listing one after the other. He says, "Sometimes he goes and sits on the bull and he says, 'I'm Lord Shiva,' and he scares people. Sometimes he jumps into the river and he stands on the crocodile and he says, 'I'm the demigod of such and such demigod.' And sometimes you go to someone's home and he will propose to young girl and say, can you please marry me? And that young girl will get scared and she will run into the home and her father will bring a big stick to beat us. Meanwhile, Nityananda will be gone and they will catch me and they will beat me in the back. So do you know what all these things I have to deal with on a daily basis? And today, you have no idea. We met these two drunkards and he is trying to preach and we were almost killed. Now, meanwhile, the Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is listening quietly and Sri Advaita Acharya was next to him and he was also laughing. He said, I can understand why Nityananda Prabhu wants to go and meet those drunkards. Because after all, he's also intoxicated all the time. So of course, the source of intoxication for both is different, but he says he's also intoxicated all the time. Then he says, the fact that Lord Nityananda went and saw them, or fact that they saw Lord Nityananda, it's just a matter of time that these two brothers will join our Sankirtan movement and they will be chanting and dancing so nicely they will put us into shame. It's just a matter of time. So, we know how that whole story unfolds. I'm not going to go into detail. So, Jagai and Madai were liberated even though Lord Chaitanya wanted to kill them because of the mercy from Nityananda Prabhu. Now, when Madai was Madai starts offering prayers to Lord Nityananda. Can you imagine? A person who is drunkard is offering prayers to Lord Nityananda. And not just any words, with the most choicest words he's offering prayers. He says, my dear Lord Nityananda, you are so merciful. Ajami was so sinful. Remember, Madai is speaking that. Madai is speaking. He's saying, Ajami was so sinful. He chanted the name of Lord Narayan once and you liberated him. Gajendra was not even a human being. He was an animal, elephant. He prayed to you once and you liberated him. Kamsa was a demon. He remembered you all the time thinking of killing you. Means he remembered you not even in a favorable mood. Still, you liberated him. Putana, she was a demon. And she wanted to kill with a poison, but fact that there was an intention of service, not even a favorable mood, still you delivered them. So you delivered all of them, but me, Madhai, I never chanted like Ajamil. I never prayed like Gajendra. I never remembered like Kamsa. I never even tried to do any service like Putana. All I tried to do is try to kill you and I hurt you. But still you delivered me. Can you imagine how merciful you are? So this Madai is saying. So that is the beauty of how merciful. That is why when Jagai and Madai were liberated, even he said that even the Yamaraj collapsed, he was unconscious. Because he said, how can this be possible? Because he could not even comprehend how this, you know, so much mercy in one incarnation, impossible. So that is how merciful is Lord Nityananda. So, the next principle we'll discuss is principle of chanting. Now we understood that Lord Nityananda is an ocean of happiness. And he is merciful because he wants to give that happiness to everyone. Now everyone wants happiness, but if he had kept it to himself, nobody would have got it, right? If you have something which is most valuable, which everyone in the world wants it, what would you do? We want to hold it to ourselves. We don't want to share it, right? Generally, the money. We don't want to share it that easily. Here, he is merciful. But, he is giving that mercy, the happiness through a cloud. But, if you have a cloud technology, can you just go look at cloud and get that information? You need some means, some access to get, right? You need a computer or a laptop or a phone to access it. So in this age of Kali, it is said that the Harinam Sankirtan is the access, is like the computer which can access that the information from the cloud, the happiness from the cloud. That's why Lord Nityananda is the embodiment of that Sankirtan movement, principle of chanting. This is the reason when we take initiation, the very first instruction our spiritual master gives to us is one should chant 16 rounds of Maha Mantra every day without fail. So to the extent we can chant, to the extent we have faith in that chanting, to the extent we can get the information or we can get the happiness from the cloud. So So that is the secret. So that's why he started this Sankirtan movement. Now, there are many pastimes of Lord Nityananda where Sankirtan is glorified. One such pastime is happened when Lord Nityananda was in Jagannath Puri. And he met Lord Chaitanya, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "I am sannyasi. I cannot go out and preach to all these worldly minded people. I should not associate with them. So why don't you go to Navadvip and preach to them? Why don't you give them the Harinam?" And Lord Nityananda was very happy. He called all his associates. And who are his associates? They were actually cowherd boys in Krishna Leela. So they were all so happy. So they made a big Sankirtan party. And they started from Jagannath Puri to Navadvip. And they started the chanting and dancing. In a couple of days, they walked in one direction towards Navadvip. And then Lord Nityananda says, "Maybe it's time to ask for the direction." So they asked the villager, "Is this the way we should go to Navadvip?" And the villager said, "Oh Krishna, you have come 20 miles in a wrong direction, so you should go in this direction." So they again turn around, say, "Hari Bol," and turn around. And then after a few days, again they chant, and they are in ecstasy. After 3-4 days, they ask, "Is this the direction to go to Navadvip?" And the villagers say, "Oh Krishna, you have come 35 miles in the opposite direction, so you should again turn around." So every time they were asking someone for direction, they were in a totally wrong direction. And it's not that they were just walking and just chanting. Sometimes someone would get into ecstasy and he would stand like a threefold bending form like Krishna, and he would stand like 9 to 10 hours, and the whole Sankirtan party will stop. So this type of pastime went on and on and on, days and days, and they got lost practically which direction to go. And Vrindavanda Thakur mentions that somehow this Sankirtan party reached Navadvip. Nobody knows how it reached. So they reached Navadvip, and once they reached Navadvip, they went and stayed in a Raghav Pandit's home. So a great devotee known as Raghav Pandit. So this is the place where Nityananda Prabhu for the first time met the three Ghosh brothers. You know the Ghosh brothers, Vasudev Ghosh, Madhav Ghosh and Govind Ghosh. They were great singers. Whenever they would sing, everybody would be in ecstasy. So these Ghosh brothers started singing, and Lord Nityananda was in ecstasy. They were chanting and dancing, and at one point Lord Nityananda stopped. He said, "I need a garland of Kadamba flowers." And Raghav Pandit says, "This is not, we don't get the Kadamba flowers here in Navadvip. It grows in Jagannath Puri." But he said, "No, I need it. It's not even a season." Nityananda Prabhu said, "No, I need a garland of Kadamba flowers. Go out and get it." And Raghav Pandit was thinking, "What should I do?" He goes out, and in his courtyard there is a lemon tree. And he was shocked to see that lemon tree. For the first time, the lemon tree was filled with Kadamba flowers. And he had no idea how this Kadamba flowers. So he makes a garland and offers to the Lord Nityananda. After some time, the Kirtan goes, stops again. And then Lord Nityananda says, "Can you feel the fragrance of Dhammantaka flowers?" And everyone says, "Yes, this is Dhammantaka flowers." And everyone says, "How come Dhammantaka flower in this place here? The Dhammantaka flower is only in Jagannath Puri." And Lord Nityananda says, "Yes, Lord Chaitanya is in Jagannath Puri. He is currently wearing a garland of Dhammantaka flower. Because of our ecstasy, ecstatic Kirtan here, he has decided to join here. So he has joined right now here in Sankirtan." And now the Sankirtan party was again in ecstasy, because both Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Nityananda Prabhu, both are there. And it went on and on and on for 3 complete full months. Can you imagine? And they were without water and sleep, and they were chanting. So this is the mood of Lord Nityananda. You always want to chant and chant and give the holy name of Sri Krishna. So that's the means to access this, the mercy from the cloud. The last principle we'll quickly discuss is principle of humility. Now you have the laptop or the computer. Now you can get into the cloud, you can get the information. But there's one more thing you need it before that, right? What is that? You might have that laptop or a tablet. You still need a password to get in. Unless you have a password, you can't access the cloud technology, correct? So why there is a password? Because password makes sure that you are qualified to get into that, the information. Same way, we, even though we might get the Harinam, we might be initiated, we might know all these principles, but unless we are humble, the humility is there, we can never get the mercy of Lord Nityananda. Humility is the key. He said that when in the Ram Leela, you know, Lakshman, he was fighting with Ravan, and at one point he falls unconscious. And Hanuman gets this medicine, Sanjeevani, and he brings him back to the proper consciousness, right? Does anyone know what does Lord Lakshman tells to Lord Ram when he comes back to his consciousness? What is the first thing he says? He says, go and kill that Ravan. That's his first thing. Now the Lakshman appears as Lord Nityananda. Ram as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Ravan appears as Madai. Now here, Madai has attacked. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wants to kill, but still Nityananda Prabhu says, don't kill this person. Because if you kill, then you have to kill practically everyone in this Kali Yuga. So that is how humble he is. You know, like, Lord has to appear in different yugas, in different forms, using different what do you call, shastra, the weapons to kill many demons. Lord kills Hiranyakashipu. What does he represent? Hiranyakashipu represents the pride. And then Hiranyaksha was killed. And he represents the greed. Ravan was killed. He represents lust. Kumbhakarna was killed. He represents the illusion. And then Shishupal was killed. He represents the envy. Dantavakra was killed. He represents anger. So all these demons had one anarthas, and the Lord had to come with different, you know, shastra or different weapons. Now Jagai and Madai were so sinful, they had all these six in one. So they were like six in one. Still, Nityananda Prabhu says, don't kill. Spare them. Give them Maha Mantra. Give them, you know, chanting. And that way we can liberate them. So that is how he's humble. And that is the whole reason why the Yamaraj had to collapse, because he had never seen the six anarthas in one person and he is liberated. So that is it. So when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so Lord Nityananda is not even begging at Lord Chaitanya. He goes to every house and, you know, in every village. See, today the bhajan what we sang is Jare Kao, Tare Kao, Danta Trinadori. Wherever he goes with a blade of grass in his teeth. Now what does it represent? Is it like some kind of a fashion statement? A blade of grass? Not really. Who has a blade of grass in the mouth? It's a Gokara animals. The ass or the cows. They eat grass and they have the grass in their teeth. So Lord Nityananda is keeping himself such a low. He's so humble. He keep himself such a low position and begs at everyone, please, please take this mercy of Lord Nityananda. So that is how humble Lord Nityananda is. So next week is the appearance day of Lord Nityananda, Nityananda Tridashi. Please try to make an effort. You can serve as much as possible to the deities and also to the devotees, because ultimately that is all, that is the way to get the happiness. And if we are, then if we can ask his mercy so that we can get humble, and also we can reach, and if we can get the shelter under his lotus feet. So that is next Sunday, Nityananda Tridashi. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna.